Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Pennant Industries Q2 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by PhillipCapital India Private Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikram Suryavanshi from PhillipCapital India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Seema. Good morning and very warm welcome to everyone. Thank you for being on the call of Pennant Industries Limited. We are happy to have with us management of Pennant Industries for question and answer session with the investment community. Management is represented by Mr. Aditya Rao, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Srikanth Bhakkar, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Manoj, Vice President, Corporate Planning, and Mr. K.N. Sunil, Vice President, Investor and Media Relations. Before we start with the question and answer session, we'll have opening comments from the management. Now I hand over call to Mr. Aditya for opening comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. On behalf of Pennant Industries, I would like to extend our heartfelt appreciation to all of our stakeholders for joining today's investor conference call for the second quarter, financial year 2025. Your involvement means a great deal to us, and we are genuinely grateful for your ongoing interest and support. Agenda today will cover, we'll start with an overview of our quarterly performance. As usual, we will highlight key metrics such as revenue, profit before tax, working capital management, and our strategic growth initiatives. Following this, the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Srikanth Bhakkar, will provide an in-depth presentation on our financial results. After his presentation, we will open the session for questions from all participants. So, let me start with the executive summary. For quarter 2 fiscal 2025, PIL reported a total income of 753.53 crores and a PBT of 36 crores. The decline in revenue of around 8%, partly expected, and our PBT, however, grew by 20%. We recorded a cash PAT of 44.31 crores. Now, while we were expecting a flat quarter due to replacement of older revenue with new high margin revenue, which has been a trend for the past few quarters, the decline was because of delays in commissioning of our Rivarelli plant and also in converting our US order book to revenue due to the US election. Both of these are temporary concerns, and we already achieved a high capacity utilization in PEB in October and have seen a dramatic ramp up in our US revenue in the current quarter. Our order backlogs across the board look very strong. Our proper equipment order backlog also has increased to record high. So we are confident and are projecting a very strong Q3 and Q4, allowing us to record our highest ever sales and the highest level of profitability and cash generation in this financial year. Our growth drivers continue to be PEB India, Ascent, which is US PEB business, process equipment, engineering services, tubes and hand products. Let me move to profitability. Our PBT of 36 crores was achieved at a percentage of 4.82%. As you have guided, we expect margin expansion to continue as higher margin BU revenue continues to scale. Our current working capital days as of September 30th have seen an increase by 3 days to 77. This is primarily because of increased inventory holding in anticipation of higher Q3 sales. There's a lot of order booking that came in late September, and in order to cater to that, we had to increase our working capital. We expect to get back to 74 days very soon, within the next 2 months, and have a goal of 72 days by March 31st. That concludes my overview of our financial performance. I would like to hand it over to Srikanth for a more detailed financial analysis. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Aditya. Welcome to the shareholders and investors of the second quarter FY25 earnings call. The key metrics include total income of 753.53 crores from 820.04 crores. A gross margin, there is an improvement by 357 basis points from 38.27% to 41.84%. EBITDA has reached above 10% and it is 16% up from 9.35% on quarter 2. PBT is now 36.05 crores, up by 21.26% at 4.82%, and PAT at 26.87 crores, 3.6%, and up by 20.6%. 17%. In terms of revenue, as you are aware that we are exiting the low margin businesses, with our continued focus to improve on the margins and cut down on the sales with lower margin businesses, you see the increase in the profitability of the businesses. Revenue has scaled up. In terms of metrics perspective, that revenue has relatively not grown in terms of the lower raw material prices in subsidiaries due to reduced offtake due to U.S. elections. We expect that now that the elections are over, the revenue will start increasing. Timeline revenue will also see the growth in the coming quarter. The diversified engineering revenue for Q2 FY25 is at 416.66 crores compared to 433.56 crores, and the custom design building solutions thing is at 353 crores and compared to 406.88 crores. Though the revenue has been decreasing, good thing is the order book in the PEB India has increased to 800 crores and PEB US to 54 million, and we are confident that the revenue will go up in the next quarter. Happy to inform to the largest stakeholders, our Raebareli plant is up and running and it's functional, and it will start contributing to our revenue from the present quarter Q3 FY25. In terms of other income, it includes deposits income, income from mutual funds, incentives, exchange fluctuation, and collection of old receivables. Extending the discussion on profit and loss account further, employee benefits expenses Q2 FY25 to 81.02 crores when compared to 77.67 crores. The increase is 4 crores, and it is on account of the increments in the higher headcount on account of manpower that we have recruited for our Raebareli and other growth initiatives. In terms of finance cost, the consolidated Q2 FY25 is at 27.69 crores and compared to 29.87 crores. This is due to the lower sales and capitalization of term loan interest for the first quarter. The total borrowing of the company is now at 1,190 crores when compared to 1,090 crores in the last period. This is there is an increase in case of our term loan as well as the working capital. The total term loan is now 208 crores. The working capital borrowing has increased because we expect we have deployed the money for the inventory, and we expect this to rationalize in the coming next two quarters. Overall, in terms of interest on exchange percentage, where we guide to, it is now at 3.7% and compared to 3.67%. This increase in 3 basis points is predominantly on the higher working capital increase that has seen. We expect this to lower, and our target is to come down to 3.75% once we start capitalizing the interest on the term loan. Depreciation is increased from 16.6 crores to 17.4, predominantly on account of the capitalization that we have in subsidiaries and in standalone entities. Tax has increased from 24.79% to 25.31%, predominantly due to change in our sales at our US subsidiary assets. Federal tax, we guide you to take federal tax at 21% and state tax at 5.5%. The average close around 25.6%. We expect the consolidated rate to be 25.5%. Overall analysis in terms of revenue, revenue has gone down predominantly in PEB business in India and US. An increase in profitability due to better margins in our boilers and fuel services and the overall other entities. And our profitability will further go up due to the margin expansion that we are planning for ourselves. In terms of the balance sheet numbers, the change in assets are on account of two things, on account of non-current assets by 73 crores and current assets by 85 crores. Non-current assets is predominantly increasing the property, plant and equipment by 134.66 crores. This is on account of capitalization of our corporate office and vibrating building and some part of assets due to the road formers that we have purchased. Inventory standalone has increased by 73.39 crores. With the anticipation of the next quarter, we have bought inventory. Debtors has decreased overall in standalone by 12.4 crores and subsidiary 19.2 crores. So overall, there is a good collection that we have seen, and that's the reason you also see the increase in the investments and the cash and cash equivalents. The cash and cash equivalents have grown by 20 crores, and investment in standalone, temporary parking of free money in the mutual funds by 10 crores. Other current assets in standalone increased by 13.32 crores. This is on account of the capex advances that we have given to our vendors. In India, it's 11 crores and subsidiaries 2 crores. Overall, there has been an increase in the fixed assets by 135 crores and current assets by 64 crores, which has been explained in the various forms above. Coming to liabilities, liabilities include non-current, current and equity. The non-current increase is due to 18 crores, current liabilities by 87 crores and equity by 55 crores. Change in liabilities on account of higher borrowing and other current liabilities by 34.97 crores. Long-term liabilities, as I have explained, it is on account of the increase in the borrowing of our liability plan as the corporate offers. Decrease in trade payable is on account of more credit that we have got from the vendors, which increases our trade payable by 12 crores. Change in liabilities is on account of amortization of these liabilities and advances from the customers that we have received. These predominantly on account of the profit that we have for the quarter. That concludes on the balance sheet analysis. In terms of cash flow analysis, the operating cash flow before the working capital changes at consolidated level is 157.98 crores when compared to 139.59 crores. This is attributable predominantly on account of operating activities, which is positive 102 crores. Investing activities, 90 crores we have invested, and financing activities, 9 crores. Overall, there is an increase in cash and cash equivalent by 20 crores. That concludes my analysis on profit and loss account, balance sheet, and the cash flow. The last thing that I would like to inform, our order book of PEB has increased. Now it is at 810 crores and I think it has increased to 54 million. This concludes my analysis on the profit and loss account. I would be happy to answer the question.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to only use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. You have the first question from the line of Harsh Bhutra from Art Ventures. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go to the question.
Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is in line with our earlier con-call guidance of about PBT about 7%. What is the expected timeline which we see and what are some levers if you can explain?
So the 7% PBT would be achieved as our higher margin revenue scales up. These tend to be our margins, our business in the US Ascent, industrial components and hydraulics here, and also engineering services and metal buildings here. So as you've seen, there's been a 200 basis point expansion over the last 2 years. So something similar over the next 2 years. So over a 2-3 year time frame, I think while internally we have a more aggressive target, I think getting to 7% PBT is what our plan calls for.
Thank you. And my second question is in line with, as we have earlier guided to exit our low margin business. First of all, let's first explain what are those low margin business and same like what is the expected timeline to exit them?
So we decided to focus most of our capital and manners on effectively five businesses. So that includes us reducing our revenue and in some business units. These business units are typically our water treatment and environment business, our chemicals business unit, our aerospace business unit is another vertical which has seen a reduction. And also across steel and across railways and our solar EPC, solar NMS, our module business. So there's almost, I would say, 7-8 revenue streams which have been removed. So the impact of that is a reduction in an overall revenue of the company, where there's not growth in other verticals, by close to about 1,000 crores. However, because the other verticals are also growing, the ones we want to scale up, scaling up, it is a plus and a minus, and overall this year we will have a plus, as we did last year as well, and the year before that. So over the next year, we will be able to fully vacate these revenue streams.
That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Tarshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. So I just wanted to understand, now the Rae Bareli plant will be operational from this quarter. So how would it impact the margins, or you know, how like the extra cost will be factored in for it? Like, have they already hired employees? You know, just like what, could you give some color on how the economics of the plant will work, like utilization levels that we can expect currently, what kind of revenue contribution can get?
So the commissioning of the Rae Bareli plant effectively increases the production capacity by about 25 to 30%. Due to a combination of factors, our actual revenue growth in TEB for this quarter is projected to be higher than that. So effectively, the impact on margins is a fair amount of operating leverage that comes in. So we do expect to see margin expansion. We expect to see profit expansion as well. The fixed cost that is added on has already been added on, and we don't anticipate any other massive increase in fixed cost.
Fair enough, sir. And so with regards to, interest cost, like, so I think we were, just to confirm, you're saying around 3.75% of the revenue, roughly, like, we'll be in this range only right now. Correct, sir?
Yeah, 3.75% of the net sales is what we would like to pay you to.
Oh, okay, fine. And so, any kind of, revenue guidance that, we could have for FY26 and the margin guidance for the same?
Could you say it again, sorry?
Any kind of revenue guidance for H2 and FY26, sir, in revenue and margin guidance?
I think you will see revenue growth and profit growth and margin growth over the next, as you've seen over the past 3-4 years, that trend will continue, because we're really just continuing along that path. So we will not be able to give you an exact number or a percentage, but as I said to a previous question, I think at least a 200 basis point, 300 basis point improvement over the next few years is definitely what we are targeting.
Fair enough, sir. Yeah, that's it for me, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Vivek Kumar from Best Ball Research and Advisory. Please go ahead.
Sir, am I audible, sir?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Can you throw light on this Pennard's outlook on US? Because now that Trump has won, and things are more clear, and also PEB business here, because the competitors are reporting really good numbers. So if we can throw outlook, 1-2 year outlook on these two, Pennard, PEB, US, and India.
Let me start with PEB India. PEB India is, as Shikha mentioned in his presentation, our order books at a record high. We are scaling that up further with an increased capacity expansion that has already come in October with the Rae Bareli plant. We have seen a revenue increase in that. So we are quite confident this year will be obviously our highest ever in sales in pre-engineered buildings. But for the medium term, I think growth is factored in now with this, with our current positioning. PEB US, yes, Trump has won, but we don't make our strategy plans on short-term, political developments. The longer-term picture is that we have our highest ever order book in the US as well. That too is projected to grow. We are undertaking capacity expansion. I believe this quarter is quite good. We did have a muted Q3, but that's just because of temporary, as you said, because of elections and other issues. The tense offtake was a little lower, but I take comfort in our order book growing strongly, and our market share being small means that we will be able to scale that business quite well. So we are very bullish on PEB US, what we call Ascent. We are very bullish on India. Both the order books are very strong, growing stronger, and capacity coming online has come online in both, giving us high confidence in revenue and profit growth in both verticals.
So more than 2-3 years, you feel most of our revenue line should be firing, right? Because what happened in the last 4-5 years, in a sustainable manner. First of all, I'm not saying every line of revenue.
I'm sorry, you said over the next 2-3 years?
If you compare the last 2-4 years, can we assume, I agree that things can, nothing is in our hands, but over the next 2-3 years, most sustainable growth in terms of more revenue streams firing up should happen, right? At least it looks like that as of now. Can I assume that? But it's
A little bit distortion, but I think let me repeat the question and understand if that is the question. over the next 2 to 3 years we will have sustainable revenue growth and profit growth? Was that the question?
Yes, but with more revenue, more product lines firing up, not just from one. So, this is what happened in the last 3-4. We had to restructure a lot of revenue lines.
Yeah. So effectively, the growth drivers, more product lines, yes, but what is existing? We are not going to be doing anything new. Our existing revenue streams are engineered buildings, hydraulics, process equipment, engineering services, tubes. All of those have large order books and a lot of potential. I mean, the market leaders and all of those are 2-3 times our size. So our ability to grow market share is and I'm very, very confident about that. So all of those are firing up and scaling. Like, it's not just PEPs, which in the PEB India, which will have our highest ever sales. We'll also have highest ever sales in our boiler business, our process equipment business. We'll have highest ever sales in our engineering business. So we are projecting good things across the board. It's not just in one. It wouldn't just be one revenue stream. But PEB is a big revenue stream, I agree. That's definitely the reason.
So any comment on working capital, your target working capital in terms of number of days? Cash conversion.
77 right now, but that's a temporary aberration. If you look at the last few quarters, we've had these quarter spikes. Usually when we are getting up for higher revenue, which is what Q3 and Q4 look like. So you will see a little bit of spike, but by end of the year, we want to get back to 72 days. Already, it's probably already down to, it's not at 77, it'll be down. It's just a function of what our revenue is.
Got it. Thank you very much, Ashton.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Kuneet Singh from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. So I would like to first understand what is the capacity utilization currently across the plants. And with the new plant coming in, what is the additional revenue potential from the new plant?
So at peak capacity utilization, it's about 2,000 tons, so that's about 300 crores that can be added. We are also, however, expanding capacity at our current plant, so the overall revenue growth potential for PEB would be higher than that number, while capacity utilization increases. And peak is not 100%, we typically look at 70-75% OEE, availability of operating efficiency. So on that metric, I think what's on the table is a revenue growth of over 300 crores. And that's for PEB. Sorry, you wanted a larger capacity utilization picture, correct, sir?
Yeah, I want to understand with our existing capacity, what is the revenue potential, maximum revenue potential?
The maximum revenue potential in the five, let me try to answer as best as I can. As I mentioned, the revenue verticals we are actively getting out of, right? So in that paradigm, the ones which are continuing to grow or trying to grow right now, that revenue potential would be at our current capacity which we have available would be about 5,000 crores from our revenue side. But we will obviously be expanding that with additional capacity expansions.
So, sir, what kind of additional capacity are we coming up with apart from the 300 crores that you mentioned? And what are the timelines?
In pre-engineered buildings?
Yes.
Okay. In pre-engineered buildings in India and the US, we are adding beamline capacity. We will be looking at another plant in the west of India, both catering to both PET and structural and high-rise structurals and high-value structurals. In the US also, we are looking at expanding to a new plant, which will also give us metal buildings and high-rise structurals. So the combination of all of these plants coming online, the timeline is about a year.
All right. And sir, what is the capex and maximum revenue potential from these two?
Typically, the industry works at an asset flip of about 6 or 7. In order to realize our growth potential, it's necessary for us to make these investments. So overall capex for everything that I mentioned will need to be finalized. But as of right now, I don't have a number for you on exactly what it is. We'll have to finalize that. But it won't substantially change the debt equity picture. It's something that we've always done. Just as we always expand capacity, we'll continue to do it. Exact number for you on all of those projects, I don't have right now.
Well, sir, historically, we have been at about 8-9% EBITDA margins. So, what kind of margins are we targeting, EBITDA margins are we targeting? And, what gives us the confidence to, improve upon these margins, because these are the numbers that we have historically been at.
And what were the main drivers of expansion in our margins?
So we are already above 10% EBITDA, to my not 8-9, we are above 10, and that's sustainably been the case for the last 2-3 quarters. I don't believe we are going to dip back down. I don't see that on the horizon right now. From a future margin expansion, what gives us confidence is simply that the revenue that's being added, what's growing, is at an operating margin that is well far higher than our current EBITDA margin. And the absolute peak of your EBITDA can obviously only be your operating margin. This tremendous operating leverage, we are not going to be duplicating so much of our costs as we expand these business units. Includes PEB, includes PEB US, includes our engineering services business as well. So with a lot of high margin businesses growing, and that revenue coming in, the impact on whatever additional operating margin you bring in falls directly down to PBDT. So that is our confidence that our EBITDA will go up and EBITDA margins will go up.
All right, sir. My last question would be regarding the growth. So what kind of CAGR are we looking at for the next 2 to 3 years? And in FY24, we did about 3,100 CR, while you mentioned that the maximum revenue potential is 5,000 CR. So, I mean, by when do you envisage us reaching 5,000 CR in your opinion, as per the current market demand?
We're hard at work mapping out our revenue. I think the orders are there for the taking. We are not constrained by the market. Our market share is so low that we could literally expand our order books substantially. Our job will be very simple. Increase our order backlogs and our scheduled customers. Increase our asset base, thereby increasing our revenue. And because the revenue is coming in from high margin, that takes up the overall margin. So that's effectively the point. You will definitely see high growth. Our plan is obviously sustained double-digit growth. The only reason this year you would have seen a little less muted growth is because of the exit of the old revenue stream. So that is a long tail and it goes away. And as we grow, it becomes a lesser and lesser proportion of our overall sales. So we're not concerned here. Put another way, I think if our iBrilli plan had come online at least a quarter earlier, which is what we had initially anticipated, we would not have any revenue fall at all, quite frankly. So that gets reversed. Q3 onwards, here we have strong revenue growth. So Q4 also, we will project that. And next year also, we will continue to be on this path. So the combination of large addressable markets, us increasing our capacity utilization and our market share, will result in revenue growth and sustainable higher revenue growth. So that's our base case business model. It's been working out for the last 3-4 years. I see no reason why it won't work for the next 3-4 years.
Well, is it realistic to assume about 20-25% growth, or when you said double digit, we are talking about something in mid-teens, I mean, in that range?
We will achieve the highest growth percentage we can, but I think at this point I can commit to double digit growth.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mohit Arora from SOIC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I just had one question, sir. When it comes to the second half of the financial year, now that our plant is kicking in, do you think that we start seeing some bit of operating leverage come into play in the H2 of this year?
Could you say it again? Once the plant is in commission, H2, what?
Basically, do you think that we'll see some bit of operating leverage start playing out in the H2 of this financial year when it comes to looking at the operating margins of the company?
Absolutely. I think in several businesses, as our new capacity comes on, and it's, as I mentioned, it's not just our iBrilli plant, it's other plants as well, other capacity as well, we do expect that operating leverage comes in. As I mentioned, all the revenue you add that at a high enough operating margin, all of that falls down, right, to your EBITDA, to your PBDT, quite frankly. So, yes, whatever has been happening for the last 20 or so quarters will continue to happen, which is that revenue increases. Because it's increasing at a higher operating margin, that drops down. Our fixed costs don't rise anywhere near that quickly. Our fixed costs typically tend to increase at a single-digit percentage per year. So the overall effect on our margin is expansion of our contribution, EBITDA, and PBDT.
Right. And sir, second question is that currently on the balance sheet, I see there's another CWIP of 128 crores, capital works in progress. Is this related to the hydraulics CapEx that we're doing?
Oh, yeah. So we had some CapEx and other, some revenue streams, our body in white business revenue streams and others. all of that should get coming to quarter. It will get capitalized in the next 2 quarters.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Varun from Equitree Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. My first question is related to the some of the small businesses which you have exited, Enviro and Solar Module businesses. So where has that cash flow been used, utilized?
Typically, the exit would mean not that we have sold those businesses, but that working capital is reduced. Since our working capital days is reduced, effectively flown back into our and gotten into our other revenue streams, which we are trying to grow.
And if you could guide on the overall debt trajectory, so it's been increasing even on the cost of debt. So going forward, where can we see that? Can we see that declining?
The interest cost that Srikanth has guided, what we use as a metric is that there should be a certain percentage. That's how we price our orders. That's how we take it. And most of our working capital is non-cash debt. It is not cash debt. It is something that's backed by our accounts receivables and inventory. So that is a part of the business and that will continue to go up. As the revenue grows up, so the non-cash debt will go up. And the majority of our debt is that, LCs and DBs and others. So that will continue. As far as the interest cost is concerned, I think while we've had a reduction from the previous quarter to this quarter, overall, it will also, as revenue grows, 3.75% is what we intend to pin it at.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Ashish Soni from Family Office. Please go ahead.
So in this quarter, how much percentage was your low margin business?
So our overall low margin business is now at, it's still at about 30%. I don't have an exact number, but I'll endeavor to get back to you. But that's a ballpark number and allow me to do our math and we'll get back to you exactly.
And what about growth in your strategic areas, like how much percentage growth in different areas, if you can give a ballpark on that as well?
All of our, all of the BU's revenue streams we've chosen for scaling are scaling well. I mean, the picture you see there would not be a quarter-on-quarter picture, but what's happening on, because of cyclicality in these businesses as well, is a year-on-year basis. None of these businesses are degrowing. All of them are growing, and all of them are growing at double-digit rates.
And what, in terms of PV, there is a lot of competition in India as well as the US. So are we seeing some market share challenges, at least in this two markets? Or in terms of scaling up, because I know the order book is increasing, but is it the same pace as your competitors are doing?
You are correct that it is a competitive space, but I think the several advantages we have that have afford us a higher market share. I think we are either number two or number three behind Kirby and Interact right now in the market share point of view. But our growth rate seems to be higher, and yes, sure, it's higher. So our goal is to be, we're not targeting to be number one in market share. It's not the way we see things. We want to be number one in growth, and even that is not the case right now that we are number one. But I'm quite confident that we have no impediments to growth. I mean, the broadness of the sector, even though there is competitive, yes, but the broadness of it, of custom design building system is so vast, whether it's factories, warehouses, commercial centers, even residential buildings, even high-rise buildings, that it's a bellwether for the construction industry. So as long as, you know, there's that sector. Oh, the broad Indian economy is open and doing well. The addressable market here will go up, and that's what is tended to happen. And we have good references, good capabilities. Well over 50% of our order book is repeat customers. So people have given us orders and are giving us orders again. So I'm not concerned. In the US, it tends to be, it's a little different. It's a lot more relationship based. So we have our sales team in the US is quite strong. So our DMs, our district managers, are people who have, in some cases, decades of experience in this industry, not concerned of our ability to build up our order book, and that's been demonstrated by our order book going up as well. In fact, we are choosers of orders right now. We pick and choose which orders to take. So the market is not going to prevent us from growing either in India or the US.
I don't believe that would be the case.
The last question, I think you spoke about $1 billion revenue aspirations. Where do you see it getting materialized in your plans?
We have our internal plans. I would not be able to guide you to when we will reach a billion, but I can tell you that our goal internally is to scale and scale powerfully over the next few years. We are very confident our best days are in the quarters and years ahead of us. So you will see us achieve that goal. And we have our plan. We've done many exercises internally, and we're geared up to increase our revenue or profitability. We're quite confident that we'll be able to achieve those numbers.
One last question. I think if I recollect, the low margin business was almost 45% in one or two quarters back. Now you said 30%. So what is this 15%? Have you completed some of this, exited some of this businesses completely? If you can elaborate on that, that will also help.
So in some businesses are order books done, revenue is done, and it has gone to zero. For example, our environment business is down to zero. Chemicals is almost down to zero. Our retail is down to zero. Solar EPC is down to zero. So there are several cases where it has gone to zero, but there are some other businesses which are longer term contracts, and it will take us some amount of time. But as you can see, it used to be, for comparison purposes, this used to be, these businesses that we have exited used to be the majority of the business 3 years ago. So over time, we brought it down from well over 50% to 50 to 45 to the 30, I'll confirm, sir, but it's in that ballpark. It's not very, very different from that. So I think over the next year, you will see it becoming smaller and smaller. But we want to be a little methodical in this. We don't want value destruction also to take place. So some of these we will also have strategic growth options. Nothing that we can comment on or describe to you right now. But what I can commit to is it will be a smaller and smaller portion of our consolidated sales. And what we are growing is well placed to grow quickly and strongly.
And just last question on this land bank you have, I think, so any plans on that? Is the discussion at board level diverse that?
Could you say it again? The land bank, Achha, okay. As of right now, nothing to comment, sir, on that.
So do you have any aspiration in the next 1 or 2 years too? Because I think you are planning for expansion, right? So instead of thinking that, can this board thinking in that direction to diverse and use that instead of thinking that?
We are considering all of those options, sir. You're right in the land bank, and there's no point us sitting on a land bank. We are not a real estate company. So we will explore all options, but as of right now, nothing to. These, by nature, these tend to be, medium term to longer term, but we are not constrained in the sense that we are not able to implement our projects. But you are right in that it is absolutely a resource we can tap in order to fund our growth. And that is, when we have something on it, we'll get back to you.
Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Philip Sahu, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks. Ajay, this question is regarding our balance sheet. There are multiple moving parts in our business. Currently, we are trying to dial down almost one third of our business, around 1,000 crores to zero. And that has its, how do you take care of the, receivables and capex? The second one is our quality of our new business is improving profitability, cash conversion cycles, etc. And we are investing quite substantially in capex in our PV business in India and US. So how does all this, impact our balance sheet in next 2 odd years? Are we going to look at, I'm primarily looking at the gross debt, which hasn't moved much in the last 2 years. Can you give some idea about how our balance sheet is going to look like in next 2 years?
Thank you, sir. So you're right, we have growth aspiration, and that's going to take capital, and it is going to take, our profit is, and our increasing profit is one first source. The other source is debt, or the other source is debt effectively. We are primarily working capital heavy and working capital non-cash heavy. So the debt we need to grow from a capital point of view or a capex point of view isn't very, very high.
even if we wanted to invest, let's say, 1,000 crores over the next 3-4 years, that's something that will be more than adequately covered by our profit where it is right now and our growth as well. It will be covered. A long-term debt, so to speak, is only a small fraction of our thing, and it isn't projected to increase by that much either. So we're not too concerned about that. There's also significant resources within the company where if we see the debt equity inch up beyond that, and we've done this in the past as well, when we sold about one of our land parcels for a fair amount of capital inflow into the company. So there's substantial land assets in excess of about close to 400 acres within the company. Some of that is friend land. These are resources we can tap. So I'm not concerned about a debt equity increasing beyond control. But to give you a metric, I think we are right now at 0.7 debt equity, 0.76. So we don't anticipate it ever growing above 0.8, for example. So there are levers we are using. And from an interest cost point of view, what we guided to, 3.75% is what we will want to use as the metric. That is what we want to be at. Our current growth plans do not call for a dramatic expansion of our debt or our leverage. And I do not believe you will see us have a debt equity substantially different from what it's at right now. And do bear in mind, sir, that this debt equity includes mostly, vast majority is working capital debt, over 80%, and the majority of that is non-cash debt. So we act very well by current assets. Our quick assets are quite positive. We're also, our credit rating is another aspect that plays into it. We want to target an expansion of credit rating. We are at A right now. We want to get to the A pluses, and I think it's important for us to monitor our debt carefully, and we are going to continue to do that.
Where I was coming from is, a very healthy balance sheet and cash in the books gives you strategic opportunities, like the way you have bought back at 30 rupees and 40 rupees 2-3 years back. Those kind of opportunities, when they come, that opportunity can be utilized if you have a healthy balance sheet. That's where I was coming from. Whether it is buyback or acquisitions, because we are in a cyclical business and there are business cycles that we will go through now, maybe positive and sometimes later maybe negative, then cash in the books will give us leverage to seize those opportunities. But I understand where you're coming from, and I think what you're saying, that we are not going to mutilate the balance sheet and we'll be careful about the health of our balance sheet. That's good. The second question is this boiler business. What quality of customers do we have in this business? It looks a lot like the SME sector to me. So what is the receivable health in this business?
Our receivables is extremely healthy. I think our working, in fact, it's probably best in class from a working capital point of view as well. Inventories on a little on higher side maybe, but receivables is, to my knowledge, not absolutely an issue. In fact, do you have the number of days for
Yeah, at boiler business, in terms of receivables, hardly 2 to 3 days, we get almost everything in advance, and then it's only LCA and discounting by the time the bank takes and brings the money back into the business. So in terms of boiler business, the receivables quality is absolutely clear, and there have been no bad debts, at least as far as the boiler business unit is concerned. In terms of inventory, yes, they track the inventory because it takes time for those boilers to build it over a period of time. So we generally have 1.5 months of inventory, which is 45 days usual in this business.
And from a customer profile point of view, frankly, all of our customers are the same thing. The same customers we sell regional buildings to, for example, the process industries, power plants, cement plants, sugar plants, those tend to be our customers for process equipment, for boilers as well. So there's a high overlap, and all of these tend to be the larger companies as well. Right now, our product range is, we're broadening it a little bit. We're not where the max is right now. But I think with the new management team that's also come in recently, I think our aspirations for this business are quite high. Order books are strong, and it's not unstructured, it's not SME, it's the accounts receivable is quite healthy. The working capital is very healthy in our assessment.
Okay, great. Great to hear that. My last question is regarding U.S. business. We are kind of going through an operating deleverage. Our setup has grown up quite substantially in terms of expenses, but our revenue seems to be coming down for last 4 or 5 quarters, and you have given your reasons. So as we go forward, our order book has gone from $30 million to some $54 million now. So as we go forward, how do you see the profitability of U.S. business? And can you give some ballpark on how next year is going to look like for U.S. business? Because it has been quite topsy-turvy for last 2 years. That's why I'm asking about next year's, view.
So you're absolutely right. So the order book is very high. The last quarter, the revenue hasn't been where it is. We are very confident that revenue goes. Even this quarter, sales are quite strong. October was very strong in the U.S. I do want to give you a little bit more clarity on this also, sir. This year, for example, we actually moved more tonnage than we did last year in the U.S. What did happen was raw material prices in the U.S. actually fell by a lot more than they did in India. And because of that, you're seeing some declines in that. Be that as it may, our operating margins are quite strong. We get upwards of 28%, close to 32% on our U.S. order books in metal buildings. What is there right now is quite strong. And while we are insured from any raw material price movement to impact the margin, I think the output point of view has been a little, as you said, the last 2 quarters hasn't done what we expected it to do. But that's in the rearview mirror. I am quite confident that this year, and we use the calendar year as a year for the U.S., you should absolutely expect growth next year because of the new capacity has come online, our production capacity has gone up, and I'm not going to say that Trump is the reason, but whatever the reason, I think we see very heavy offtakes now, and I have no doubt that this year will be good and next year will be great for, this quarter will be good and next year will be good for our U.S. business.
Thank you. All the best, and have a hope for a better half compared to the earlier H1. Thank you,
sir. The next question is from the line of P. Cha, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Aditya. I have two very simple questions. The businesses which we are closing. Have you made any serious attempt to sell them? Which is, they seem to be still the order of the day, the railway wagon, the EPC solars and the panels that you are making. So that's one part of the question. And also, whatever it releases, other than the strain on your working capital, resettlement of labor to plant and machinery and the land thereon. Does it generate some revenue? The best scenario, when you are able to sell them. The last scenario, when you are able to sell the, break them down and kind of still save some revenue. That's one question. The second question is, my friend always maintains about your company. That you also have a software part of your business for the engineers. So what are the steps that you take to scale it up, which has the potential to surprise us all? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So as you said, several business units have closed. We have unwound their order books and revenue streams for those businesses. And we are looking at strategic options. The board is looking at them. Once we have something to share, we will be able to share any information we have on that. But you are right that there's a lot of value in those revenue streams. We may have decided to discontinue them, not because they were not profitable, but because we had to choose. We don't have infinite capital, so we have to focus on few businesses, all of them correlated to each other and growing. So those other businesses, there are options available to us. We are discussing them and we'll come back to you on that. I mean, necessarily we could only do that once we had moved our majority of our revenue to another to other revenue streams, which are growth business, which is what has happened this year. So we will definitely give you, as the options develop, we'll give you clarity on that. But it is, you are right that it is, that is the approach we should take. We should not look at value destruction, for example. So that is on the BUs that are closed. The second question, I want to make sure I understood it. Are you talking about our engineering services revenue, sir?
No, the engineers that you employ, I may be, may not be very, may not have the clarity, but the engineers that you deploy for the structural design and other stuff, that is also a significant part, which perhaps has only fantastic margin, perhaps the best margin, possibly the best margin in some businesses, if I heard you right in the past.
You are correct, sir. So those businesses currently comprise of structural engineering, our body in white design, building information modeling, and other revenue verticals that we have. There are about 4 revenue streams in that. Currently, that's at about 60, 70 crores. We expect that to grow quite well. It is one of the verticals we intend to grow quite quickly. And as you yourself said, the profit margins in that are quite high. And we are, it is structured regular growth that's coming in for those businesses, because it's effectively addition of people, customers, and design care and detailing know-how and engineering know-how. So that's a gradual process. We're comfortable with the path it's using, but it gradually grows. But it will grow, and it is going to continue to be high margin sustainably. So we're happy with what our management team has accomplished in that business over the last 2 years. I'm sure it will continue to grow and scale. And it will continue to add powerfully to our bottom line.
Thanks. And I must compliment you that whatever you make promises in all your conferences, you keep them. that's a great credibility that you have.
Thank you, sir.
Management, we appreciate that. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vikram Suryavanshi for closing comments.
We thank the management of Pennar Industries for giving us an opportunity to host the call and taking time out for interaction with the investors. Any closing comments, sir?
No, thank you for the opportunity. I'm glad to have the opportunity to present our quarter and our future outlook to our stakeholders. Thank you so much for all of your support. We will work hard to implement our plans and grow better. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you all for being on the call.
Thank you. On behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.